This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, the Curiosity rover turns 2 years old, and you'll hear from a guy who knows the inside story of the Mars rover. Plus, we'll help you plan a trip to America's great national park lodges. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is boarding a plane to Hawaii, where she'll take a direct hit from the two tropical storms that are out in the Pacific. We'll hear from her shortly. Jay Capadonia has the day off. In his place, it's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Thanks, Phil. And look out, smokers, because if this catches on, you may want to consider quitting so that you might also enjoy the pleasures of your other addiction, eating.
And they call him Dr. News. Chris Martin is here.
Let's see if you can guess which famous lead singer who wears excessive facial makeup and can lick his own eyebrows has publicly defended former Clippers owner Donald Sterling.
That's all coming up. Let's get started, and thanks for tuning in. Jennifer Bjorklund is on her way to Hawaii. She's trying to get ahead of those two tropical storms that are barreling toward the islands, Isel and Julio. Jennifer, coming in from LAX right now, what do you hope to find out when you get there?
Well, I hope to find out that we were successful in beating it there, Phil, quite honestly. I have never covered a hurricane before, so this is my first, and I am definitely going to get a trial by fire. Maybe I should say a trial by water.
I can't wait to see the video of you standing on a pier or on the beach in one of those rain slickers and getting blown over by the wind and the rain.
Oh, boy. Well, I have two things to say about that. First of all, for everybody who says, oh, look at you, you get to go on a business trip to Hawaii. Okay, consider what's about to happen. Second of all, if I end up being the human windsock, you know, I think I'm going to be really upset because I never really liked to see that shot. I would rather just kind of see what's actually going on the island than just see a reporter being beaten by the wind and rain. But we'll see.
Yeah, think of the viral video potential here. Do something silly. Plan it out ahead of time. Just don't tell us what it is, and we won't let anybody know that you had that in mind.
Yeah, just don't spill your Mai Tai. That's really the most important thing.
Yeah, no spilling the Mai Tai. All right, Jen, so here's what we're dealing with. A 65-mile-per-hour Thursday night is what we understand. Mm-hmm. Isel is supposed to have a direct hit, perhaps on Hilo. Which island are you flying to?
We're going straight to Honolulu. And what I understand about this this particular set of storms is while the wind is not really expected to be sustained, as hurricane force winds, I think what they're saying is because there are two in direct succession, like one right after another, it's going to kind of change the weather pattern. So the places that don't normally get a lot of rain are going to get hit pretty hard. So we're looking for potential flooding in places that don't see a lot of water usually. And I'm thinking that's going to be more the thing that we'll see rather than me trying to hang on to a light pole and not be blown away.
Right. Okay. So you're going to
bring my boots.
Yeah, beautiful. I hope they're decorative boots. We're going to look for those and comment on them when we see them. And so you're going to ride out the storm, so to speak, because there are two of them, and Julio is some 36 hours behind Isel. So that means what?
Right.
You'll be there through the weekend?
Well, potentially we might have a little bit of time off, but right now, as soon as we land, we're going full steam, and we expect to be done reporting straight through on Friday, middle of the day.
All right. I expect you've done a little bit of research and some groundwork before going. I'm gathering that you've done that because Hawaii doesn't get direct hits very often. It's just a handful of dots in a big ocean, and the hurricanes aren't all that great at finding it, generally speaking. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's been years of something in my head says the 50s, but don't quote me on that. Like I said, I just got this assignment, and I'm planning on kind of boning up on the plane while we're headed there. As it is, we're getting a little bit of a stink eye from the flight attendants because I'm still on the phone and we're about to take off.
Tell her I asked for an extra bag of peanuts.
Okay, we'll do.
And we'll let you go then. And the first thing you should do really is find some of the local surfers and ask them what they're thinking about this, because I guess that they're going to have a different perspective on this than everybody else.
Yeah, the surfers always kind of do, don't they, Phil?
Yeah, they can't wait to get out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Safe travels, Jennifer. We hope to hear from you tomorrow and the next day and get updates from you from beautiful, rainy, and windy Hawaii.
You bet.
All right, that's going to be good when we hear from her next time. We'll see if she's going to be out there.
Aloha.
Yeah, aloha. Aloha this. She's going to be, they better nail her down during her TV reports.
That's a heck of a hooky lao. Right
we there. Love when our Jennifer's out there on TV, all over the network and wherever else. So, yeah, looking for that viral video. We'll see what happens.
Now, do you think this is the last flight out to Hawaii? When do they start canceling flights?
I thought you were going to ask, do you think this is the last time we get to see Jennifer?
No, I certainly hope not.
No, gosh.
But I am hoping for the viral video.
No, I don't know. That's something worth checking into, Chris, because wouldn't you think they would start canceling flights at some point? Because,
it has to be soon.
Because you have to fly from here right through the storms.
Right, and they're thinking about it too, and they're like the Hawaiian Airlines and the carriers that go there are offering no cost cancellations if you don't want to go to the middle of the storm
or an extra bag of macadamia nuts.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means they're willing to take the flight, and it's up to you to cancel if you're afraid.
Yeah, if you want to cancel, they're not going to charge you a cancellation fee.
But they're still going to fly through the storm.
Well, apparently, they'll probably go around it, over it. I don't know. I'm not a pilot. Why are you asking me this, Phil?
Come on.
Let's go, Greg. You got the answers.
They could fly over it and then just dive bomb the island. That'd work fine.
Look, lots of people go to Hawaii and don't come back, but that's usually for different reasons.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
And some people might want to get out of certain parts of Arizona, Greg, especially if they like to light up a cigarette once in a while.
You're not kidding. I think it's Pima County. I'm not sure if I'm saying that properly, but there's a nice gentleman by the name of Chuck Huckleberry. Chuck Huckleberry is the Pima County Administrator, and he's decided that they're no longer going to hire you for a county job if you are a smoker. They're just not going to hire you for a county job. They will test for nicotine in your system among current employees. So if you're a current employee, you have to say you're not a smoker. If you are, you can say you are. They're going to raise your insurance rates. If you say you aren't a smoker, they're going to test you for cigarette smoke in your system and raise your insurance rates off the chart. There'll be this big surcharge for smokers on the county health plan.
Interesting that this would happen in Arizona. And wonder if from county to county across the nation, there are county administrators watching this and deciding, hey, I'd like to be politically correct too.
Maybe we can get in on this. And there's a lot of people saying, hey, is this discrimination? Well, it's not really, according to the 1987 Federal Appeals Court ruling, which cited the proposal that found that smokers are not a protected class, nor are they entitled to any special legal protection. So basically, if you're in a place right now where all of you go outside of your office and stand around in a sad huddle together and smoke, things are looking up compared to having a county job in Pima County, Arizona.
All right. Things are always looking up for one particular rock star who's been around way beyond what anybody ever thought and continues to make news. And today, Chris, you have the latest from this guy.
Yes, this guy, Gene Simmons. He's a money-making machine, business entrepreneur.
Does a deal a day, last I checked.
Yeah, one of the things that he's involved with, he's actually involved with Arena Football, and he was doing an AMC series called Fourth and Loud about the L.A. Kiss, which there's a narcissistic name for you.
Sure.
He was asked about the Donald Sterling story, and he replied, "I'm on the side of Donald Sterling."
Those are his words, word for word.
His exact words. "I'm on the side of Don Sterling." He says Sterling is heinous, but he should have never been let off with a fine. He should have been let off with a fine since his rant was in private. He went on to say, "Because you say an off-color joke or make a racist rant privately, that causes you to lose your job. If that's the case, then nobody would have a job."
No.
According to him, says it's a slippery slope. And he thinks Don Sterling is going to send out paparazzi to catch other people in sports organizations in bad moments and then release that, thinking it'll sort of bode to his side of the story.
Well, if things start to collapse in on Gene Simmons, Greg, he could always change his name, and there's one for sale. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I've known a number of people with unfortunate names. I used to hang out with this guy. His name was Pete Moss. That was his name. There's a guy by the name of Sam Sung. And Sam Sung found one of his old business cards, and he understood the hilarity of his name, and he decided that he would auction off his business card on eBay for charity, which I thought was nice. But the reason why it's interesting at all is because Mr. Sam Sung used to work for Apple.
Oh.
So it is an Apple business card with his name at the bottom, Samsung.
I love it.
And so, yeah, he's auctioning it off on eBay for charity.
That is spectacular.
Do you guys know anybody with, like, silly names like that? Like Pete Moss?
Skip?
Samsung?
Knew a guy in high school, Skip Tumalu. He was a friend of mine.
Skip Tumalu?
Yeah.
Wow.
Played on the football team. He was the linebacker. No?
Of course he was.
You're not buying that?
I'm not buying that for a second. Nope.
Okay. Well, you asked.
Swing and a miss by Phil, everybody.
Had to come up with something. All right. Up next, you've heard of Celebrity Deathmatch, right? Remember they used to play that on MTV?
Yeah.
Well, Chris has an animal deathmatch that you won't believe. And that's next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Let me step up to this microphone because it's time for more of As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Thanks for tuning in. Jennifer Bjorklund is on a plane to Hawaii to cover the two fairly strong tropical storms. They're just a couple of miles per hour below hurricane status. So we'll hear from her tomorrow and the next day and find out what's happening there. Greg Spillane is here today as Jay Campidonia continues to vacation. We hope that he will be able to recover in time to be back here on Monday. And Chris Martin is here. I'm Phil Hewlett. We thank you for tuning in. All right, so we used to love watching those claymation celebrity death matches on MTV. But these death matches happen in nature all the time, Chris, don't they?
They do. My dad and I used to play a game when I was younger where we would pit animals against each other in an imaginary cage match, and we had actually come to the conclusion that a full-grown silverback gorilla versus a full-grown brown bear or grizzly bear would be the ultimate matchup.
Yeah.
You know, as far as brute strength. Uh-huh. But here's a question I have for you and Greg. Who would you take in a battle versus a full-grown saltwater crocodile and an adult bull shark?
Oh,
where do you go on this one?
Oh,
full-grown
wow.
croc.
I think this is like Crocnado.
Now, yeah. How much water is this? Is this like 6-7 feet deep of water?
This is a shallow area of the ocean coast.
All right, I need
a saltwater river.
Saltwater croc. So it's in the brackish water at the at the mouth of a river.
Right. I'm trying to get my bookie on the phone. Hold on a second. I got to find the over under on this.
Yeah. All right. I'd say, you know what? I'd say the crocodile gets the advantage for being able to maneuver and zero in on its prey in muddy water.
I'm going shark. You got to go shark.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the shark loses its equilibrium when the water gets muddy.
Oh, so who's the
marine biologist here?
It's Phil, everyone.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We didn't know you had a PhD.
No.
I'm glad you guys had a split decision. The croc did win. The crocodile won.
Ooh,
he was significantly larger, though, Greg. This particular croc was named Brutus. He's 80 years old. These guys were passing by on a ferry. He's missing a front leg and most of his teeth, so this is a wily old veteran.
And he has a name?
Yeah, his name's Brutus. And check this out. There is speculation that Brutus lost his leg to a similar shark several years ago. So this is a vendetta match we're looking at.
Well, I'll tell you, with Brutus back in the day when he was a young whipper.
Wonder if they had to call in the nurse shark. But now, what if a bear was involved in this scenario, Greg? In fact, you have a bear story, don't you?
Yes. Since you mentioned bear, Chris, do you want to take a huge Russian dude or bear?
Is the Russian dude high on vodka?
Well, he's Russian, and his name is Igor. His last name is completely unpronounceable for anyone in North America.
And according with the Russian.
He fought a bear?
Yeah, he fought a bear. He was going to his favorite fishing place, according to the Croatian Times. I don't know how often they publish or if you can subscribe or not. Yeah, so he's out there fishing, and he was attacked by a bear, and he was not doing well. The bear was about to win the match when his cell phone rang.
Oh, I think we have an actuality. Let's listen to it.
Okay. Baby, 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 oh, yep, that was his. That's exactly as it took place. Our microphones were there. Phil Hewlett and friends, microphones were on the scene to capture this as it happened.
Okay. Boy, that guy really jetted.
That's the bear taking off, I assume, is
yeah,
what we heard
yeah,
at the end?
Yeah, he heard the Bieber, and he okay. growled, yeah. and then he took off.
There was Justin Bieber was his ringtone. A huge, great, big, massive, I say his name is Igor, and you picture Igor in your mind. It looks like him. Yeah, that was his ringtone. The ringtone went off, and the bear...
What is his explanation? Okay, he survived the bear thing. That's one story. I think he better come up with a good story for why he's got that song as a ringtone.
It has to be a lost bet, I'm guessing.
Yes, I believe the Phil Hewlett Friends investigative news team will go deeper into the story.
Yes,
to find out exactly what bet he lost to have that be his ringtone.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thanks for that. That was exciting. Here's a quick tidbit of information for you. We're here in California. We have a lot of people. People always say, "Can we handle more people in California? Is it crowded enough for you yet?" Our population here in California is 38 million, give or take 100,000. That number, my friend, is 3 million more people than there is in the entirety of Canada, where their population is 34.9 million.
Man. Oh, you don't say. Really? Eh? That many?
I do say.
Well, how do you move around there with all those people?
Extra ketchup.
That's almost inconceivable. The landmass that is Canada.
And we have 3 million more people than they do in Canada, right here in California.
That's a lot of hot dish, eh?
Yeah, well, there you go. I like your Canadian.
Sure. You know why Canadians say A all the time, don't you?
Oh, here it comes.
Because you got the C, A. Then you got the N, A. Then you got the D, A. Oh, see, I have family from Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Cut it out. Time out. Don't make me call the croc. What was his name again?
Bernie?
Brutus.
Yeah, Phil's going to turn this bus around.
All right. And this is something technologically that I thought we would have had by now. It seems like 10 years ago, there were people talking about being able to see your digital readout while driving in your car in a particular way, Chris.
Yeah. And to me, that sounds awesome. So they have a device now that will allow you to do that. And for only $500, you can turn your car into a Star Wars fighter jet.
And so where do you see the readout?
You see it on your windshield. The system is called NAVD. That's the most advanced one. And NAVD, it mounts to your dashboard and projects a high-definition display onto the inside of your windshield. So when the display comes on, you can see the road behind it. And the assumption is that you're not going to be too distracted. You never take your eyes off the road. So it projects your phone display for calls or texts. It projects navigation system for directions. And what sets NAVD apart is that, let's say you're watching your navigation system on your windshield, which is phenomenal, and a phone call comes in, it will actually split the screen. So you'll see the phone call on one side, and you'll see the navigation on the other.
No,
like you said, Phil, I'm surprised that this doesn't exist more, because I had a Pontiac in the around 2004 that had the basic stuff projected on the screen.
Did it really?
It had the speedometer and your fuel gauge and stuff like that down.
Was that one of those G cars? What was it called? The G something? You know, Oprah gave a bunch of those away, right?
No, it was a Grand Am, and it said Gonzo Greg on the side, and believe me, it got the chicks.
To run? Is that what it got them to do?
Yes, to run away, run far away. But yeah, no, they've been experimenting with that for ages, and I'm not sure why it's not further along by now.
Yeah, and I don't know what the jury says about how much safer it is looking at that versus looking at one of those little readouts that pops up on your dashboard.
Which I have to imagine is the roadblock, is how safe is it and the testing procedures they have to go through before they
Lady with the Google Glass that got pulled over And she went to court, and the judge ultimately said, no, that's okay. You can wear your Google Glass while you're
they
driving.
They use it in fighter jets. I mean, you know, it's heads-up display in fighter jets when they're, you know, shooting down planes.
Sure.
It seems like it works pretty good.
And it was great in Star Wars. No problems there.
Clearly.
Yeah. All right. Tell me about this Legos thing, Greg.
This is, you know, there's so many wonderful things about the internets. And one of them is that you can run into things and people that you would never ordinarily. Matt Delanoy is a guy who really likes Legos a lot. He has a lot of them. And he applied his Lego skills to building the entire town of Springfield from The Simpsons in Lego form.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's an entire town of Springfield in Lego form that he built from scratch. I mean, I think Lego came out with a couple Simpsons kits, but he went over the top with it and just went nuts and made an entire Springfield.
By the way, we have a picture of this on the show fun page at
PhilHewlettAndFriends.com.
I just posted it up there.
It's amazing.
It is
really
amazing.
I'm gonna make Springfield out of Lincoln Logs, and it's going to be considerably lamer.
How in the world will you make that nuclear silo out of Lincoln Logs?
How many episodes of Simpsons do you think you'd have to watch to recreate the entire city?
A couple.
Hey, here's something I've always wanted to do. Travel up and down the Pacific into the Northwest and then east and stay at the great national park lodges of America. Have you done this? They are something. They really are. And our travel guy has a lot to say about them next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2, bringing you something absolutely different every single day. And if you've never visited one of the great lodges in America's forests in the national parks, you are about to get enticed to do so. If you have been to the lodges, at least one of them, this conversation just might get you to run back to book your next trip. Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. Gary, I gather you've done this a couple of times, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been to most of the lodges at least once and some many, many times, going back to when I was a kid.
Give us the background on when these lodges started springing up and why.
Well, basically, they were built to open up these areas to tourism, particularly when we talk about America. I'm throwing in Canada, and like up in Canada, they had a guy whose name was, William Van Horn, and he said, since we can't export the scenery, we will have to import the tourists. So what he did is he built these, you know, European-style, huge castle-like hotels out in the middle of nowhere. The only way in and out was on Canadian Pacific Railway. Same thing in the national parks to a degree. Glacier National Park, you can get there on the train. But they're there to sort of celebrate the ability of the upper classes to go see these parks, not just the folks who want to put on a backpack and tromp around.
Yeah, they let's be clear, they are not just hotels in the middle of the forest. I mean, there's something special architecturally about almost every one of these, right? Can you describe some of the major characteristics?
Basically, they tend to blend with the land. So there's a lot of rock. There's a lot of rock from the same area. A lot of wood, sometimes unhewn wood. You'll get at a place like Old Faithful Lodge in Yellowstone, actual logs with the bark still on them. You feel as if you've kind of walked into a natural formed cave, but a very beautiful one.
Yeah, so let's start in California, if you could. Give us a couple of good examples. Probably there's one or two of them in the Yosemite area, right?
Well, the Yosemite area has two really great ones. The Awani Lodge, which is down in the floor of the valley, is absolutely gorgeous. You know, stone and windows that frame the massive granite walls that seem to be just a few feet away. In fact, there was a period during World War II where they turned the Awani into a hospital for veterans who were coming back from the war. And they had to actually turn around and not do that because the guys were feeling too claustrophobic. These huge looming granite walls made them freak out. But it's a great spot up there, a beautiful one. Earlier than that, the Wawona Hotel, which is just out at the lip of the park. That's where Theodore Roosevelt and some other folks went. Older wooden structure, but one of my favorites.
How would you describe the accommodations? Because it sounds unnecessarily rustic by today's standards.
Well, that's what's interesting is that for a long time, including when up until I was a young man, you could get accommodations across the board, usually at these national park lodges. I said they were for the wealthy, and there were rooms for the wealthy, but there were also rooms that were essentially cribs. The Wawona Hotel is a good example where you had a room and you went in the door and there was a bed and there would be a wash basin and a place to hang your clothes. But if you needed to use the necessary, as they called it in the Victorian era, that was down the hall. And the halls were often exterior. And in the wintertime, that's an awful long trek.
In the cold, in the snow.
Yeah, yeah. But they've all pretty much modernized. In fact, you know, what's interesting, I went back to Chateau Lake Louise. Went to the...
Lake Louise,
Crater Lake. Crater Lake Lodge.
Okay.
Crater Lake Lodge up in Oregon.
Yeah.
And I'd gone there when I was a kid. And basically, it was time to renovate the Crater Lake Lodge. And when they got under there, like many a homeowner, unfortunately, has found out, the foundation was shot. There was too many termites. So they tore the whole thing down and remade it in a spitting image of the original on the outside.
Yeah, I guess they had that option.
Inside, yeah.
They had the option to modernize it, but they decided to go with the old school. I like that.
But inside, a lot better heating. You know, the radiators were gone, the ones that used to rattle all night long. The rooms were more luxurious with carpeting. I stayed in, there was a split-level room where we could watch the stars at night. So that sort of experience is what you can find there. In fact, there's been criticism often that the National Park Lodges, which I got to clarify, are not run by the National Park Service. They're run by vendors that are chosen by the National Park Service, that they get run down.
Are they for profit, or does all that money go back into the
profit.
National Park?
They're for profit. No. They're for profit. They're for profit. Okay. And,
So, in other words, you're going to pay competitive prices for your rooms.
Oh, beyond competitive. Beyond competitive. Because particularly in areas where it's a very short season, like Glacier National Park, Yellowstone, they'll be open during the winter. But, you know, June, July, August, you're going to pay, you know, through multiple exit areas of your body to stay at these places.
Welcome to the Orifice Bank.
No, the Orifice Bank. Bank of Orifice.
Hey,
Paradise Inn up in Mount Rainier got really run down, and they finally rebuilt that one. Most recently, I was on the Big Island, and the lodge there at Volcano National Park had been really an eyesore, just a terrible place for years and years and years. They finally were able to ease the vendor out. They reworked it for about 3 years, and it's sort of a middle of the pack one.
You're talking about Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey,
back to
the Pacific Northwest, and I want to ask you, where's the best lodge? Because I've only been to one, and only for a meal, and it was a spectacular meal, and about the most opulent dining room I've ever seen. But where's the best lodge? Maybe I've been to that one.
Well. What I would have to say, and this is a little weird, is that I think the best national park lodge is not in a national park.
Oh.
And that is the Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood.
That's the one.
Built in the 30s. All the craftsmen who were out of work were brought up there, and they hand-carved. Everything was made by hand. But there were already too many volcanoes in the national park system. You had Lassen. You had Shasta. You had Rainier. So that area is actually a U.S. Forest Service area. But that's the best one. But if you're going to say within a national park, I would probably have to go with Old Faithful Inn, Yellowstone. It really is the vision, I think, of what people have.
Mother Nature entertaining you at her best. How about one to avoid at any cost?
One to avoid at any cost. Well, right now, I would say that one in Hawaii, probably.
Oh, okay.
But I'll bet you could get a screaming deal on the room for this weekend.
Yeah. You know, I really don't know that any to avoid it at any cost.
But would you say what? So the worst one is probably the Volcano National Park one. But
was Volcano National Park. Yeah. Was the one in Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
Right now, they both had big multi-million dollar fixes, so they seem to be on the upswing there.
Well, it sounds like a great trip. If you were to put aside, say, a whole month and to just do a big loop, you know, starting in California and just do the loop, and you set aside, I don't know, what do you think, maybe four grand for a couple to pull something like that off?
If you book it well ahead of time, yeah, you can do it. Go up through, basically up through Vegas, Utah, that area, Zion, Bryce, the lodge on the north rim of the Grand Canyon, which few people go to, then up into Montana to the Mini Glacier Lodge, all that area, and then head on over to Washington with the Olympic National Park and those lodges, then head south down Highway 1 and all the spots you'll get along there.
What a spectacular sounding trip, Gary Warner.
Hey, Phil, I want to throw out one thing on this Hawaii hurricane thing there.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
I don't know if this number's come up, but there have been 147 hurricanes that have passed near Hawaii since 1950.
Near, but has there been? Do you know how many direct hits there have been?
Three direct hits since 1950, and the worst one was Hurricane Iniki in 1992, just walloped Kauai. Six people died.
And is that one larger than this one?
Yeah,
the ones that are coming through.
Yeah.
It is.
These aren't even hurricanes yet. Yeah. They're 65 miles per hour.
Below,
you got to get to 70 to be a first hurricane level.
Iniki was the Category 4, which puts it up there with the one down in New Orleans. That sort of level.
Katrina. Yeah. Right. All right. So this is why we felt comfortable enough sending Jennifer right into the eye of the storm, as she's on her way over there.
Clearly, she's scamming all of us for a Hawaiian vacation.
I went over there. 10 years after Iniki, to see how things were going, and there were still things that were flattened. The Coco Palms Hotel, where Elvis gets married in Blue Hawaii, that was wiped out. They never rebuilt it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can take a long time, and all the electrical wires come down, and it's hotter than Hades. So,
well, good.
We'll see how she does.
We certainly will. Well, thanks. Where are you off to next week, Gary?
Next week, just really hanging around. You know, August is sort of like amateur hour for vacationers. You know, it's highest prices and things like that. So I don't do a whole lot more than start looking for the deals that start coming out mid-August and end of the summer.
We'll look for something good. We'll look for some surprises for you from you when we talk to you next week.
Gary
Warner, our travel
Take
dude.
Care.
You too. There he goes.
Hey,
on a plane. Out of here. Wow.
Aloha. I didn't know I thought you had to camp when you went to a national park. That's awesome news. I had no idea.
Isn't it? Yeah, they're beautiful.
Hate camping. I was raised by hippies. So,
hey, yesterday at JPL, the Brainiacs, as Jay would call them, had a birthday party. They were celebrating 2 years of the Curiosity rover on Mars. And up next.
All right.
The man who wrote the book, Mars Up Close, Inside the Curiosity Mission, joins us live right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We have a Twitter account. It's at As We See It Show. And we were talking earlier about how California has collectively a larger population than all of Canada. David SM53 on Twitter, on our Twitter wall there, says, let's invade and truly make a northern and southern California. What do you think of that?
Well, we'd have to go through Oregon and Washington and Idaho and all those other states that separate us.
Well, we could build a bridge.
Okay. That's going to be one heck of a bridge.
I would say. We got all those lodges along the way.
In favor of invading, eh? So we can get their crazy bacon.
Okay. Those Mounties are crazy up there.
That voice you're hearing is Gonzo Greg Spillane. He's here in for Jay Capadonia today. And let's see, tomorrow's Thursday. You're off. We have Thrasher, Ted Pritchard, in for Jay. And then you'll be back on Friday again, Greg. Isn't that right?
Say hi to that guy for me. Yes.
I certainly will. And Chris Martin is here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is on the way to Hawaii because she's fearless. Just how she is. Hey, there was a big party yesterday at JPL in Pasadena. Curiosity, the Mars rover, turned 2 years old. And joining us live is somebody I'm going to guess was at that party. Washington Post writer Mark Kaufman. His new book is Mars Up Close, Inside the Curiosity Mission. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It went on sale, courtesy of National Geographic Books, yesterday on the 2-year birthday of Curiosity. Sir, thank you for joining the show. Were you at the party, in fact?
First off, thanks for having me. I was here in Washington, where we had a big party at National Geographic, and a whole bunch of the Curiosity scientists were there, and we even made a replica of the rover. And so I would have loved to be at JPL. Goodness knows I was there for the launch. But this time, because the book was just coming out, I said, hey, let's do it in Washington.
I would have loved that if they had a birthday cake for Curiosity and a little green man jumped out. I don't think anybody expected this rover to still be operational this long into the mission, did they?
The plan was for it to go 2 Earth years, which is one Mars year, and that would be about now. But the actual thinking is that if all goes well, it could maybe even go 10 years. In that time, it would go to this Mount Sharp in the center of the crater and maybe climb quite a ways up there, something that's never been done.
That sounds great. And so far, there have been quite a few significant things Curiosity has done and discovered on Mars. Talk about those.
Sure. This has been a remarkably successful journey so far. They landed in this, after the 7 minutes of terror with the sky crane landing. And then they kind of quickly decided to put aside all of their earlier plans, which were to go directly to Mount Sharp, and rather to turn the other direction to an area that looked particularly promising. It was really a very low area, low-lying. They got there, and lo and behold, basically, you'd see mud flats, old fossil mud flats, and they dug into it, and it was mudstone, and they found that the area had once been the seat of a lake. There was a stream going down into it, and that it was an area where, if there was ever life on Mars, it could have survived there.
Yeah.
They had all the conditions that you need.
Is this some of the groundwork NASA has to do to get to the next level and start working on, altering the atmosphere up there so future generations can live and breathe on the surface?
I'm not sure that they're thinking that far ahead. I think there are two things that are the primary goals right now. The first is to see if there's a way to determine if there ever was microbial life, little bugs on Mars. And it may not seem like a big deal, but those little bugs are like the same little bugs that there were on Earth, and for 3 billion years, that's all there was on Earth. If those things started growing and living at the same time in Mars, well, Mars had some terrible things happen to it, and so it made a very different turn than Earth. So if they could look back and in this fossil record, this geological record, look back 3.5-4 billion years ago and find, my God, there really was life there, probably would be the biggest scientific discovery ever.
Yeah, I'd say, for now at least. And I do remember reading something 10 years ago, and it lines up with a story that came out this week when NASA started talking about, you know, 10, 20 years from now, they plan on starting a mission to start converting the gases up there into oxygen. But 10 or more years ago, I do remember reading about something called terraforming.
Yes.
Explain that concept as it applies to what we're talking about now, and is that still on NASA's radar as a long-term goal?
It's certainly on the radar of some scientists. I kind of doubt that it's on NASA's radar, but it's possible. The whole idea is that Mars once had an atmosphere that was somewhat similar to ours, or in any case, not terribly dissimilar. And either through an impact, you know, some kind of asteroid or comet or whatever, that atmosphere was destroyed. The magnetic field that holds it in was destroyed, and so it no longer could potentially maintain life.
And we could recreate it. Isn't that the idea?
Exactly. The idea is that potentially we could recreate it. We really don't know how to do that, and it's very tempting. But there's also this whole world of planetary protection that NASA has, where you know you can't do things to planets that are that would be harmful in particular ways. And I'm not sure where terraforming would fall on that.
Yeah. All right. Just a quick moment left. There's an ominous cosmic event coming in early October worth looking out for. What is it?
Yeah, a comet is going to be coming very, very close to Mars. It would be about a third of the distance to the moon from Earth. It's the closest comet to come into the inner planets in recorded history. Initially, they thought it was going to actually hit Mars, but that looks like it's not going to happen. But it's going to come very close, and we're going to be able to see the inside working of a very unique kind of comet that comes from way, way out, the primordial Oort cloud. So they're really excited about this.
Very good. Oort clouds always excite me, too. Mark Kaufman, thank you. Your new book is Mars Up Close Inside the Curiosity Mission. It's on sale now through National Geographic Books, and it's in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. You know, technology is a great thing. They have these apps when you go jogging, and they keep track of your where you're jogging to on a little map, a GPS, and then you could post it online.
Nike Plus is one of them, and there's this lady, I think in San Francisco. I'm not exactly sure, but she uses Nike Plus to chart her her runs, and then she can look at it on the GPS, and she uses it to create art and pictures, little doodles, basically, on the GPS maps. And most of her pictures are of male genitalia.
What is she, a fifth grader?
She is. She is like an eighth grade boy. It's quite delightful.
And we have one of those photos and a link to all of them on our show fun page. We like your comments, too. Feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to the crew for being here. Mike Stark and Jay Campidonia will be back Monday. Jennifer, we hope she'll be back. Chris Martin, Greg Spillane, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.